was given. Well, this has brought something on.
Yeah.
Kessel is now fighting with Brian Flynn. Goaltender Bernier is out there as well. My goodness. There are fights all over the ice. John Scott threw a punch at Kessel, and he took the stick to Scott. Now it's got everybody involved.
Where, why wasn't my name referenced in any of that scrum from Joe?
Were you in the middle of that?
I was in the middle. I got squared off with McMillan, a tough guy from the minors.
And just a big,
yeah,
boss
big
of a
guy,
human.
And he knocked my head in.
So just for context, you were a Buffalo Sabre,
yes,
in training camp that year. That was 2013.
Yes.
6 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. But you know what? I'm glad that we got John Scott, because I've actually never had a, I haven't had a chance to ask him how that all started.
Well, he is on the phone line right now, so why don't you ask him?
Hey, buddy.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
So before the shift, Ziggy looked over at me and he said, "Heads up, John, I'm going rogue here. I'm just going to go after everybody." So that's what started the whole thing. Ziggy went crazy and went after everybody. And I just tried to follow suit.
So what actually started off the draw? Because I'm taking the draw. You're on my left.
So it all started the shift before. We had scored, and the face-off center, dot face-off, whatever, their tough guy, Jamie Devane, fought Corey Tropp, one of our feistier little guys. Before the game, I had talked to some of their tough guys, and I said, if you guys want to fight, you should look for me, because I knew we didn't have anybody in their weight class. And sure enough, he asked Corey Tropp to fight, and he really did a number on him. And Corey was out on the ice. He broke his jaw. He was concussed, and it was just kind of a scary scene. So while the trainers are tending to Corey, I am just absolutely stewing on our bench. And in Toronto, the benches are right next to each other, and I'm screaming at Carlisle, "Whoever you put on the ice, I'm going after. So put out somebody tough, because I'm going to beat their wheels off." And so the 4 or 5 minutes goes by. I go and line up, and Carlisle gives me this little grin. Like, hey, look what I'm doing. I'm putting out Phil. What are you going to do? And so I gave someone on the ice the heads up. I don't know if it was you or a D-man. I said, just so you guys know, I'm going to jump whoever they line up, you know, next to me. And it just happened to be Phil. And I said, I'm jumping Phil. And so that's the kind of the story before it.
Yeah, I mean, I got tied up in the middle of that, and that didn't end up well for me fighting McMillan. But something else I wanted to talk to you about: what about the All-Star game and the situation with the NHL trying to get in the middle of you not going? Like, can we get the full story on that?
Oh, you heard about that? Okay. yeah, it was just one of those things where it was the new format, right? Everybody knew the 3-on-3, and I'm sure this story's been beat to death, but the story they told me was they didn't want me in the game to embarrass myself or the league, because it was this new, faster, skilled type of game they're trying to promote, the 3-on-3, and they really wanted to pump that up, and I would just be an eyesore and ruin it. So they tried to persuade me not to go, and, you know, everybody knows how it ended up.
With former NHLer John Scott, this is Leadoff with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mac, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So the Kessel preseason situation or the All-Star game, when people stop you on the street, John, what do they ask you about more?
It's usually the Kessel thing, because it's more interesting, I think. No one knows the backstory to it, and they just always think I went crazy. Like, why did you go after Phil? Like, I'm not crazy. Like, there was a reason behind it. Like, it was preseason. I just had to set the tone for the year. Buffalo, you know, had been pushed around the year before, and, you know, I was just trying to set the tone.
Like, I'm always fascinated by eras, and I hate to think that six Septembers ago we lived in a different era, but I think there's something to be said for it. Does that situation, John, play out in the exact same way in a 2019 preseason game as it did in a 2013 preseason game?
Oh, gosh, and there's a number of reasons why it doesn't play out that way. First and foremost, there's no one to play it out that way. There's very few fighters in the league, right? Name one guy in Toronto who could fight these days.
Austin Matthews?
Yeah, right? He's probably the strongest guy. So there's just no tough guys anymore. Now, I talked about this at length the other day on my podcast. I'm not trying to plug it, but it's like the league got rid of the fighters, and now you see a different type of game where instead of someone fighting someone, if something dirty happened, I think you would see someone try to, you know, pull a dirty check on someone else and just try to get retribution that way instead of really, you know, doing it the old school way and dropping your gloves.
When you were playing, who was the toughest guy you fought?
Oh, gosh. Do you remember DJ King?
Yep, played with him in the minors.
So tough. Head about the size of a Volkswagen and just, like, so tough. I never got to fight Stevie McIntyre. I think he's the toughest guy I'd ever played against. But, yeah, DJ King was just a big human.
Well, we're kind of getting back to a little bit of the, I wouldn't say the glory days when it comes to rivalries, but we have a few things stirring up here, starting from last season. Ryan Reeves, Evander Kane, Drew Doughty, Matthew Tkachuk, we saw that unfold in just theatrical fashion last night. But do you think within the locker rooms there's more of a, I guess, players taking pause when their teammates go out on a limb and talk some smack to the media, or do they kind of love it because it never happens anymore?
I think it plays out more in the media, more so than on the ice. I think guys, they're not afraid to step on the ice anymore. So they talk smack to reporters and, you know, oh, I'm going to take this guy's head off. This doesn't belong in the game. You know, Reeves talking smack about Kane. If I was on the Sharks, I don't think Reeves would say that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. About Evander Kane. So it just, I think it plays out more in the media because it just, there's no fighting, which is, who knows if it's good or bad. But I just think there's a lot of bark and not a lot of bite these days.
So do you think that there isn't real animosity between the two duos that I just mentioned?
I think Doughty really does hate Tkachuk. I think he hates him with a passion.
But this could be something that almost, I don't want to say revives Doughty's career, but we were talking earlier, like, he's made his money, he has his rings, he has his personal accolades. Like, every reason is given to him to kind of just coast through the rest of his career. But something along these lines where, like, a young guy is kind of challenging you and challenging your station in the league, this could really stir up some things for Doughty and give him, I guess, a little bit more fuel to have a hell of a season.
I hope so, because it's great. And he played unreal last night. And if that's what he needs, a little bit of rivalry, a kid, you know, taking a run at him every once in a while, I'm all for it. I love the rivalry. I think it's great. The games between Toronto and Buffalo after that Phil Kessel thing were insane. Like, they were the best hockey I played. So it's the fans love it. I think it's great for hockey.
With John Scott, 2016 NHL All-Star, the guy who went at Kessel in 2013. This is Leadoff with Ashley Ziggy and Scotty Mack, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So how's the transition now been to broadcasting? I know you have your own podcast out, Dropping the Gloves. What kind of stuff do you talk about? What do you get into? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's funny. I can't keep up with you guys with the hockey talk, so I try to touch on it a little bit. But just, you know, listen, I'm a dad. I got five kids. I'm trying to figure things out just like everybody else. So I do, you know, half hockey, half just regular life stuff, what I'm trying to do to keep myself sane these days. So, you know, it's entertaining. I enjoy doing it. It keeps me in the hockey world a little bit. And, you know, it's worth a listen if you're bored.
Five girls, though, right? You have five daughters?
Yeah, five
girls.
How's
that playing out, sir? It seems like it might be a little bit of sleepless night situation.
Lots of sleepless nights. Ziggy's, I got lots of gray hair now and a lot less hair than I did in my prime. But hey, they love their dad. What can I say? They're good kids.
You're not necessarily the only one in this conversation with less hair.
Don't look at me.
I'm scared to look at Ziggy because he could reach across and hit me.
It's thin up top. Yeah, it's from wearing the helmet all those years. Come on.
My patience and my hair. Wearing thin these days, boys. Oh my goodness.
John, how much do you miss it? Like, if you could step back out on the ice.
I don't miss it, honestly, too much. I play in a Sunday night league where we play a game for 10-minute periods. I think we do three of them, then we sit in the locker room for 4 hours afterwards and, you know, drink a couple cases of beer. And that is more enjoyable for the most part than playing in the league ever was. It's funny enough. It's stressful to be in the NHL. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, especially when you're like guys like me and Ziggy who are in and out of the lineup, and you know, you never know when you're going to play or get sent down. It's so insanely stressful. So to kind of step away from that, it's nice. I don't have to like worry about where I'm going to play next year, dragging my family everywhere. And hockey, it became a job, you know, at sometimes. And I don't miss it all that much because I still have that locker room environment with my friends here in town. So, you know, it was a dream job, but I'm happy it's over, to be honest with you.
John, how long until you think the NHL is allowing players or even providing players in the locker room with more CBD-based products for pain management? Because we know the season is a grind. It's grueling. You hear people playing on broken femurs, separated shoulders, cracked ribs by the end of the year throughout the playoffs. And there's a big conversation surrounding professional sports right now that holistic solutions are seemingly going to help people long-term and also avoid things like addiction to some of these strong pain medications.
Yeah, it's such... I've lost numerous friends to opioid addiction. Derek Bluegard was one of my good friends. And if that could have been avoided by CBD oil or however you want to do it, I'm all for it. I just feel it's necessary. I think because it's legalized now in Canada... and it helps so many people. Listen, I played with guys who smoke marijuana every night. And it helps with anxiety. It helps with pain. It helps them get through the day. And it's not like they were potheads and they're, you know, going out of their way to, you know, it didn't affect them. And it worked. And it got them through the day and it got them on the ice. And I think it works. I don't know the long-term effects. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a surgeon. But if, you know, the government approves it, it's legal across Canada. It's going to be legal in the States probably pretty soon. I don't see why they wouldn't legalize it and just try to maintain it and monitor it. I just don't see the downfall of it, you know?
With John Scott. John, in the aftermath of your career, and I hope you're willing to be open about this. If I'm being too personal, just kind of brush it off. But what do you struggle with? Are your hands gnarled from all the punches you threw? Are there aches and pains? Do you worry about perhaps what happened to your brain as you played because you were a fighter? Like, what are some of the things you deal with or worry about as a retired player on a day-in, day-out basis?
Well, to say, it's obvious we have the aches and pains of the bodies. My hip gives out once a week where I have to, like, literally either collapse to the ground or grab something because I'm going to fall just because my hips are out of whack. I'll probably have a hip replacement somewhere along the line. My hands are all messed up just because of getting punched. But and my nose, I can't breathe that well when I sleep. It's very difficult to breathe out of my nose. But the big one is the head, and that's the big ticket. And I think about it sometimes, especially when I have mood swings where I kind of go into a funk where I'm angry. And my wife's like, why are you so angry? And I can't place it. And it's scary. And I don't know why. I'm like, well, have I always been like this? Or is this, you know, something new that's happened in the last 5, 6, 7 years? So I think about it, and I hope I don't have permanent damage. I'm sure I have some. Just, you know, it's the nature of the beast. I was a fighter. I was a hockey player. We get hit a lot. And you just hope it doesn't turn into something worse. But, yeah, it's just a constant thing where once or twice or 3 or 4 times a year, I just go into a funk for a few days. And my wife's like, okay, I'm going to give you some space. Hopefully you can kind of work your way out of it. And it just, she says I'm not myself sometimes just because I'm so irritable and just, you know, edgy a little bit. But it's a real life thing. Like, and I never got really bad concussions throughout my career. So I can't imagine someone who was knocked out numerous times or had bad concussions. I probably got 4 or 5 of them that were diagnosed, and I still feel the effects of that.
What's the update now on the movie? Because it's been a couple years. Where's that at, and how come I wasn't called to play a role in it?
Well, go look in the mirror, first of all, and that's answer to that question, Ziggy. We're going for handsome here. You got a face for the radio. You're doing the perfect job. The movie is in the works. When I first, got approached to do a movie, I thought it'd be done in a year, year and a half. It was going to be a quick process, but man, it takes a long time to get actors lined up and directors and all that sort of thing. So the last I heard, we have a director. It's the guy who's done all like the Horrible Bosses and all these things. So he's a pretty hot name. We have supporting actors lined up, and they were talking to Hugh Jackman. He's the latest guy. He, liked my story, and they're trying to work out a schedule where he can do the film. So it is what it is. Hugh's like, I think, 60 years old now. He's not getting any younger, but he still looks fairly young. So whatever. It's Wolverine. I can't complain if that happens. But that's the latest update. I stay out of it, but, it'll get made. That's what they keep telling me.
Well, Hugh Jackman can play you, and you can play Wolverine in the next next iteration.
Seems like a fair trade-off.
Yeah, seems like a reasonable.
What a dream that would be.
Even if it goes straight to video or Netflix or whatever.
You didn't
want to
say
days.
DVD.
I was going to be like Blu-ray, but that doesn't happen anymore. That's still a victory, though, John.
I'll take anything, you guys.
And any bites on the Twitter front? Because I was thinking about sending out a tweet to a couple teams to see if they had any openings.
Well, I reached out to Winnipeg. They've been looking for D-men. They've been dropping like flies. So I put out a couple feelers and nothing back.
Wow.
But, keep my fingers crossed.
Gosh,
I couldn't go out and play right now. No, not a chance.
You don't shoot right-handed. And they need a right-handed D-man.
That's the reason why, John.
Tell yourself that.
You know what, Scotty? I like you, man. I'm going to hang my hat on that. I'll take it.